Shalom, saints of God and servants of Jesus Christ. This is Sheila Crawford of the Shofar Ministries Hour, and welcome to the news portion of our program. I don't know about you, but I have surely been challenged lately, for these have been some hectic days. We are still not back in our apartment since the flood 4 weeks ago, but it's getting close. Too much red tape, but I do thank you for your prayers, as we all thank Jesus, even every hour, for carrying all our burdens. Well, a good thing happened this week. Israel thwarted a network of Hamas terror cells ready to commit attacks in the West Bank and planning a coup against its so-called partner, Mahmoud Abbas, and the Palestinian Authority. And they did that in order to totally take over its government, nullifying their previous unification. Remember months back when they joined together, I suggested that would be their plan? Make nice, join together, then take over. It's the same scenario that they did in Gaza when the Jews were thrown out in 2005. It was the Palestinian Authority that negotiated the agreement and were in control, but soon after let Hamas in, who then took over and dropped the PA, so they had to go to the West Bank. Then, still again, let Hamas join their government, and now is trying to totally take control by causing havoc with attacks to the West Bank. Really, we should be calling it Judea and Samaria, but fortunately was foiled by Israel. I am quite sure that I'm not the only one who knew they would try it again. Every major thing that happens to me anyway is planned by the elite, or it doesn't happen. This is also proof that the Palestinian Authority should not be allowed to be an independent state without any Israeli oversight, because for sure Hamas will be in there shortly following. Israel continues in an on-again, off-again ceasefire situation, and as of this morning, rockets were firing again from Gaza, and Israel is retaliating as Netanyahu is still pressured into agreeing to more anti-Israel deals, like giving into Hamas's demand of a deep seaport and international airport for the Gaza Strip. Of course, as I said last week, this will allow them to bypass all the supervisory mechanisms to smuggle in weapons, construction materials, more terrorists, and advisors from Iran and other places. Again, I say it should never happen. But again, Netanyahu is caving in. And as well, after insisting they would never again release any more terrorist prisoners, they have now agreed to negotiate on that very possibility. Remember, saints, it's all a game of chess. The pieces being moved by the elite to continue chaos as the precursor to a new world order. And boy, are they loving the chaos in Ferguson, Missouri. It falls right into their bag of tricks. And I have no doubt they've added fuel to that fire by sending their own paid instigators to increase the bedlam with looting and any other kind of disarray, causing escalation with martial law as their goal. It has been reported that 25% of the arrested protesters were not even from Ferguson. And now even ISIS is contributing by using social media to encourage the protesters in Ferguson to embrace radical Islam and fight harder against the U.S. government. The ISIS tweets denounce local officers for the way they have attempted to quell the violence, making reference to historic acts of police brutality, and even use the hashtag Ferguson under ISIS in an attempt to get angry young men in the city to declare allegiance to this Islamist group. News footage of the Ferguson protests appeared to show a demonstrator holding a sign reading, ISIS is here. So if ISIS really does get involved, many will die. ISIS, by a video, warned the United States that it will attack Americans in any place if the United States airstrikes hits its militants in Iraq. The video shows a photograph of an American who was beheaded during the U.S. occupation and U.S. tanks being blown up in Iraq. The statement in English reads, "We will drown all of you in blood." Now, the U.S. airstrikes in northern Iraq have helped Kurdish fighters take back some territory, captured by ISIS earlier. Leader and Caliph al-Baghdadi warned Americans in January, "Soon we will be in direct confrontation, and the sons of Islam have prepared for such a day." Dear Lord, help. And we here at Shofar Ministries want to encourage you to stay focused on His plan and do not grow weary in doing good and continue sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And pray that we can remain on the air, and you know donations are needed to do that. Remember September 5th at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, and the topic, of course, is the soon coming two-day Feast of Trumpets and the anniversary of the creation of man, with a hopeful, possible catching away of the Bride of Christ. Certainly my favorite subject. Now, don't move that dial or your mouse. The Shofar Ministries Hour continues right now.
Shalom, Chavarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, as well as WHKWRadio.com. This is John Bartlett. I'm your co-host, and we're so glad you could join us tonight as we take a closer look at what we are really fighting against, and it's not flesh and blood. First, I want to offer a little prayer to our Lord before we start. Abba, Father in heaven, we just want to bless you because you are the Holy One. When you say something, it comes to pass. You provide for all our needs every day, and your ear is always open to anyone who repents and trusts in Yeshua. You have given Him as the complete sacrifice for our sin, and it's our only hope to get out of our sinful condition and be right with you and have a relationship with you. We thank you for that, Lord. Only you could do something like that. And we exalt you, Lord. We exalt you over all sicknesses. So we lift up any diseases that our listeners may be facing right now. And we just make a breakthrough for these listeners, Lord. Help them to get well or heal them. You know their hearts and you know their conditions. And we want to lift up those prayer requests that we got this month and all of them. And in your name and through your power, we pray this prayer of faith that you can heal. And we're trusting you for that. As well, we thank you for making it possible for us to be on the air, to continue to speak the truth of what's going on in this dark and evil world. And as long as you will provide, we will continue to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. And we pray, Lord, send more pastors to join us in this battle. We need them. In the name of Yeshua, amen.
Boy, I second that, amen.
We do. We need them.
Yes, we do. And shalom to all of you out there tonight. And I just want to say real quick, if you want to, I know this is kind of unusual to have a religious program doing history, but if you want to get a map of Europe, it might be helpful for you tonight as we are going to be looking at World War I. But what we're going to really look at is the power behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so important for the church to realize, because I don't think the church realizes what's going on, and spiritually, the enemy's working big time.
So there's another story behind World War I, and it's
absolutely
a spiritual one.
That's right, and that's what I want to expose.
Mm-hmm.
And to just make sure that people understand, you know, who our enemy really is. Mm-hmm. Also, the lines are always open for your end-time questions or comments. 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-WORD.
And remember, too, listeners, if you've missed any of the previous shows, easily you can go to shofarministries.net. They're all archived there for you to listen to.
Yes.
And you can copy them if you want, too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There's no copyright on them. They're for you.
That's right. Lots of information there.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sheila, you were telling me you had a few comments about our recent programs and your newsletter
My last newsletter
stirred up some people. You want to share any of those?
Well, I do, because I think it's important. I have to say that a lot of them were thankful and that are doing it and positive.
That's good.
So that encourages me.
Mm-hmm.
But every once in a while you get one, and I did get an indirect one. It wasn't directed to me, but told someone else, and this person told me. and called me a Catholic basher.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to make it perfectly clear, because that really floors me, because I thought I had already made myself perfectly clear, and that is that I love Catholics, and it's because of that that I want to warn them of their demonic doctrine and the hierarchy that they sit under.
Well, yeah, right. You have. You've made yourself clear. I've heard you. I sit right here, and I hear you.
Yes.
And I know you have a heart for Catholic people.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know the truth and you keep it to yourself, then you're really not being a watchman. And to me, it shows that those criticizers don't care, or they don't know enough, or they don't care enough.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're afraid and they remain silent.
Correct. They just haven't done their homework, really. In all fairness, that's what it is. So they just haven't done the research, which, by the way, can be exhausting. And And you don't have to go too far, but you need to check out at least some of it for yourself, for your own eyes, so that you really, have your own eyes open. And once they are, then you know what has to be done.
Mm-hmm.
You can't hide it under a bushel anymore. And, as you pray tonight, I hope that more solid Christians will speak out and expose the errors of this religion, especially after what God allowed us to see. And probably the biggest clue to me, and I talk about it often, but I don't think anyone should ever even want to call themselves a Catholic if you really understand any of the true gospel.
Yeah, and I know what you're referring to, because I have an article right here that quotes the new Pope as saying that atheists who do good are redeemed.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, Christ died for all of us. But you must accept the gift by believing on him. When Pope Francis said, or what he said, I believe, is demonic heresy. I'll just say it right out. It's the truth. And that statement the Pope made should have been an eye-opener to all Catholics. But it's not. And they still stay Catholic. But if you're out there and you did make that decision to leave, I would sure love to hear from you. Because I only hear from a few, and I'm talking about since the Pope made that statement.
Oh, I see.
That's
just specifically that.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I want to see how many that finally said, you know what, I can't sit under a teacher like that. You know, and I watch Fox News only because the others are very liberal.
Mm-hmm.
But even Fox News still boasts about being Catholic.
Well, of course they would, because their owner's a Catholic. I think Rupert Murdoch is a Catholic as well, a Knights of Malta.
Oh, yeah.
Member?
Mm-hmm. That's right, you got it.
Uh-huh. And we know about them, and that's on the other archive programs, too.
Yes, so. It is. So, basically, what I want to say is if you want to call me a Catholic basher, then I'll call you a lukewarm pansy, as I remind you of 2 Corinthians 11:4, where Paul addresses those who don't speak out against error. And I quote, it says, "For if he who comes preaches another Jesus," which, by the way, the Catholic Church does, because it's Jesus plus works,
mm-hmm.
"whom we have not preached," and they never preached works, "or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well put up with it." And he was chastising them. He says, you just might go along with it.
Yeah,
and that's what we're seeing today.
Well, you're right. people think their religion can save them. And somebody needs to tell them.
That's right.
In the same passage in the Old Testament that talks about love, you need to love your neighbor as yourself, it also says if you love them, you'll reprove them or rebuke them.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And again, Jesus hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans in Revelation 2. He said it to a couple churches. That's elevating the hierarchy. The Pope says, one of the popes, and we have quotes from that, said he was God on earth.
Yeah, I've heard the words, and I've seen that. We have read the quotes.
Quite a few popes.
And we did it, I think, 2 weeks ago. And then again, listeners, you can go to our archives at shofarministries.net.
Oh, it's terrible.
And listen to them, and it just blows your mind. It really does.
But
that right there would be, if I were Catholic, that little statement there by those popes saying that they're actually God,
yeah,
that would be enough for me to go.
I know.
I mean, I would say, well, wait a minute, I know he's not, so goodbye.
But we must move on, because lately we've taken it further, and that we have been actually discussing the Vatican's secret underground army,
which happened to be called the Jesuits.
You're right, John. Mm-hmm. These very obvious sheep in wolf's clothing who have not only infiltrated Protestant religions by changing their identities and then entering Protestant seminaries to cause chaos and division, and they've infiltrated all walks of life, particularly the highest levels of government, with one of their main goals, to take down America, so to better implement the New World Order. And Obama is just one of their puppets.
And so was Bush. And,
yes.
And his daddy.
Yes.
Yep.
And his little brother Jeb,
mm-hmm.
who converted to Catholicism, actually.
Recently.
Now, the others didn't.
Well,
but
this is recent.
Did.
Recently.
Well, it's probably been 5 years.
5 years.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And I actually have a picture of Jeb kneeling in front of Pope Benedict and kissing his ring, as many other dignitaries, of course, have done.
Well, I don't think Bibi Netanyahu has done that yet.
You know, it's interesting.
There's no record of him doing that.
I have not been able to find a picture of him doing that. In fact, I did see a video of him meeting the Pope, and they shook hands.
Yeah.
So, that's a good sign.
I couldn't imagine him doing that.
Well, don't ever say that. But you know who did? Remember Palestinian Arafat, Yasser Arafat?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, he did.
He did?
Yes. And so, and by the way, I think that's disgusting for anyone to have to bow down in front of somebody and kiss their hand. It just doesn't make sense.
But then,
and it also means you're beholding to them when you do that.
That's true. And listen, we're not bashing. It's not the people so much as the forces behind the
that's
people
right.
in most of these cases. And these poor souls, they're getting their souls possessed.
That's right.
And then they become willing subjects.
That's right. Because we don't fight flesh and blood.
That's right.
And basically, without the truth of God's word firmly implanted in one's mind, deception is a pretty sure thing.
Well, I'll tell you what. People's eyes are now starting to get open, I believe, right?
Oh, yeah.
And lots through the years.
That's right.
I wanted to ask you if I could read a little passage about the wickedness. We don't have to do it now, but just a little passage from one of the Psalms. When we see all this evil and wickedness in the world going on around us, why it's happening. And this is from Psalm 92.
We always have time for the Word, John.
We always have time. I know. We used to do a lot more on the Word, but this will tie back in. But this is Psalm 92. It's traditionally read as a psalm for Shabbat. And it also, Shabbat is also a picture of the millennium. And so I want to read from verse 10 here. From verse 7. It says, stupid people can't know, and fools don't understand, that when the wicked sprout like grass, and all who do evil prosper, it is so they can be eternally destroyed, mm-hmm. while you, Adonai, are exalted forever. So there's your reason, and it's our responsibility to learn, so we're not stupid.
That's right.
And we can do it. We can learn.
That's right. And so as you see evil growing and
mm-hmm.
the world getting darker.
And those who do evil prospering, and
yes,
they are.
And they are.
Mm-hmm. It's so they can be eternally destroyed.
That's right. And that means the end is coming.
That is. That means and the millennium is about to begin.
Amen.
Amen.
So that's good news.
Good news.
All right. We have a caller on the line. What happened to Kevin? Now it's Tom. Okay, Tom, you're on the air. Welcome.
Oh, I don't know if you're going to be welcoming me after I get done.
Yeah, probably not. But go ahead.
You know, I was very interested in what you had to say until you start picking on Catholics.
Okay.
I've been a born-again Catholic Christian for 35 years.
Okay.
And I have gone to evangelical churches. I have friends in evangelical places,
mm-hmm.
in mainline Protestant churches. And Christ taught the love of the church and the brethren and people that are really, truly born again.
Mm-hmm.
There are some Catholics that truly are.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm not bashing Catholics. Please understand
and
that.
Maybe you ought to admonish the scriptures and keep silent in the church.
No, we have to expose the error of Jesus.
Well, you don't do it, but you don't do it by the way you're doing it. You're a vicious person. Good night.
Well, good night.
Well, let me just finish. Basically, That's why I'm telling the Catholics to get out of the apostate church. You can't continue in a church that has continuing sacrifices every time they do a mass. You can't continue to pray to Mary and to the saints. And if you believe the Pope is infallible, that's just wrong. And you can't stay in a church that believes in works-based salvation. And you can't stay in a church that teaches that tradition is more important to than the Bible. And good works isn't going to get you there. You can't do penance because Jesus did it all. You don't have to go to purgatory to pay for your sins. And then for your own leader to say that atheists don't even need any of this, they can go to heaven just still being an atheist, that's wrong. And it's got to be exposed. And you know what, Tom? I am so glad you called because that's exactly what I want you to do, is to get angry. Because when you're angry, maybe we have a chance here that you're going to do some examining. So thank you so much for calling. I appreciate your call, and you're going to be in my prayers, Tom, and I'm writing your name down. Amen.
Amen.
We do have Kevin back. Kevin, you're on the air. Are you going to be a nice caller?
Yes. Have you read the scriptures where it said they rest the scriptures to their own destruction?
I have. That's another good one.
You're the definition of unstable because you can't even be a reverend, first of all. I don't know how much you're picking up on scriptures.
I'm just reverent, which the Bible says we're supposed to be.
Right, okay, whatever you say, because you think you're infallible. But when you find out that you haven't been given that office, that the Pope was handed the keys to the kingdom, the Bishop of Rome, Peter, which were passed on, when you find that out from the Old Testament, Isaiah 22, what that means, maybe you'll reconsider your position.
All I know is that atheists aren't going to heaven, and I can't sit under a leader that says so. That's it. That's enough. So
I don't know. I think that we have it's recorded in history. We have the pictures and the documentation that the popes have said they are God.
That's right.
And if the leader of your church says he's God, you have a problem. I don't
That's
care.
Right.
I know Catholics. I'm not a Catholic, but I know Catholics who are saved.
But you know what? We're stirring them up.
Yes, we are.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It's time to take a look.
That's what has to be done.
And Protestants need to take a look at what they're believing, too.
Oh, absolutely. Everyone does.
Anyone that's in a large church with a hierarchy.
Right.
And especially the ones where the hierarchy is telling you.
That's right.
Not the Bible, but they're telling you.
Believe me, I am not a hierarchy. I make lots of mistakes. I am not infallible. And I only
teach. You're vicious. You got to remember that.
But believe me, you don't know me at all. And that's usually what happens. People just don't really know me.
Well,
my heart. You know, and it's because I love you, honestly, that I just want you to know that you need to pull out, even if you don't go to any church at all. Just stay at home and read your Bible and fellowship with one another, your friends or whatever. You know, if it upsets you that much to, you know, so whatever. Anyway, thank you for calling. I do appreciate that. And I'm so anxiously looking forward to a nice caller.
They were nice.
They were nice.
We really appreciate your callers.
That's right. Anyway, let's get back to what we were talking about. That we don't fight flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... You know, I won't even go there, what I wanted to say, but people's eyes are being opened. They really are.
Yes, I agree with
that. And many have through the years. I mean, tons of Catholics have left.
Yes.
So there's got to be a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's nothing that we can really change, especially at this point in what's going on in the world.
Right.
But we can recognize the enemy, and in the short time we have left... We have to evangelize.
And that is the mainstay. That's the pillar there of Christianity.
That's right. To share the truth and leave the driving to God to fulfill his word.
That's
and
right.
He is.
He does the drawing. Right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
We're just the servants. And we here at Shofar Ministries have joined a class of a few who have been trying to expose by bringing to the light the horrendous deeds of the past. And the main goal is still in the future. And you know what? There was a man not too long ago named Dave Hunt who really taught a lot on the Catholic Church, and he wrote that book, The Woman Who Rides the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that it seems like my heart came to wanting to expose this as well. Well, it's always been there, but it more emphatically was like right after he died.
Well,
isn't that amazing?
So you've taken up his mantle.
I don't know.
You've taken up Dave Hunt's mantle. Somebody has to do it.
Yeah. Well, it's not always fun, as you just saw.
Well, it's not always fun, but but that's okay.
But that's okay.
That's okay.
That's right.
We haven't endured hardly anything yet.
No.
I got to admire the courage that you have. I wasn't raised Catholic. I always say that. But I know you were. And your family, you're saying things like this. You're putting your family on
my
edge.
My family has pretty much disowned me.
Yeah.
I mean, when I go to family functions, which they still invite me to, I mean, it is a rule that no one talks about religion.
Mm-hmm.
They just won't have it.
So you've been paying the price more or less for a long time. I've watched it. And,
yeah.
But that's good.
But that's all right.
The truth's coming out, and it needs to be out there.
Thank you for saying that. But anyway, that is basically what I tried to do, because it's easier for people to be able to, like, talk off the cuff,
mm-hmm.
you know. So we're going to present some information tonight so that when the opportunity does arise, for those of you that are listening,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to always be able to say, hey, wait a minute, I think I have some notes in my purse or my wallet. You might have to practice some key points of what we're going to say tonight and what we've been saying over the last few weeks about the details of the Jesuits and the Titanic and Father Chiniqui and Abraham Lincoln and all those things, you know?
So, in other words, we don't really have time to give you all the references
right.
to the materials we have in
but
the
But I
past.
Have them.
But we have the references, but we're just going to give you the facts tonight?
Yeah,
and
pretty much
some
the
names,
facts.
Right?
Yeah. And then hopefully you'll re-listen, practice, that kind of thing. Practice yeah. talking about it is really what you need to do.
Yeah. That's
so.
Good. We all need practice.
That's right. Okay, we have a caller, and his name is Joe. They were getting a lot of men tonight, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, Joe, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't know. How am I doing?
Good.
Okay.
I'd like you to know, and I'd like everybody to know, that I was born and raised a Catholic, and I bought my first Bible when I was probably about 20 years old. No, probably about 18 years old. And it was a Catholic Vulgate. I
yes.
read it through. And once, when I got through reading the Bible, so much of it did not agree with what they teach in the Catholic Church.
Hmm.
Especially when the priests say, well, we will decipher the word of God, you know, that's written in the Bible. But
yes.
one thing the Catholic Bible has in it is Lucifer is Lord. It's stated right there in the Vulgate Bible.
You mean the footnote?
Huh?
You mean in the footnotes?
Right in the scripture. In one of the books, it says Lucifer is Lord.
Where is that?
I'm not sure. I don't remember anymore. But
Well, you got to find that and let me know, because I don't remember reading that. But go ahead.
Did you read the Catholic Vulgate group?
Well, originally I did, yes, and I don't remember reading that, but I would like to know where that is, because that is very important to know that they changed that.
Yeah, and also there's a I quit the Catholic Church.
Okay.
Because it just didn't agree, because I've been through the King James 1611 Bible.
Yes.
Not about five times or six times already.
Mm.
Amen.
Amen.
The church that I was going to, which I won't name right now, had the NIV Bible in the pews.
Yes.
And the NIV Bible is the Jehovah's Witness Bible.
Well, not totally.
Well, pretty much, because of the verses that are erased or not included in where they have the verse number down, but they don't write the sentence. I have a video that I will bring to you, and you can copy it or whatever you want to do. But every verse, before the Jehovah's Witnesses had their own Bible, they used to buy a King James, and then they would go through the Bible and cross out various verses. And those verses that are missing in the 1948, I mean, what they did in 1948 and 49, the Jehovah's Witnesses, before they made their first Bible, are exactly the verses that are missing in the NIV.
Okay, Joe. Hey, listen, your time is running out, but I am going to make a comment to that. And basically, when I read the part in the Jehovah's Witness Bible in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was a God. And when I read it in the NIV, it doesn't say that. So,
well, I'm talking about before the Jehovah's Witnesses made their own Bible. They've made three or four of them since.
Oh, okay.
They've changed it.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about they originally, before they had one, they had to use a King James.
Mm. Yeah.
So they just pulled verses out of the King James.
All right. Well, interesting. Thank you so much for calling. We got to move on.
There again, that's an example of a hierarchy.
Sure.
That instead of using, actually using the scriptures as their influence. And changing the scripture. That's scary. That's scary.
I know. You've got to really have discernment these days.
You sure do.
Definitely.
Thanks for calling,
Thanks
Joe.
Thanks for calling, Joe. All right. So, tonight, we're actually going to,
We're going to start.
Should we just kind of review a little bit about what we've been saying?
Let's do a little bit.
Well, about 2 weeks ago, we did the abominable quotes. Remember that?
Oh, yes. Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And we also talked about why the Roman Catholic Church created Islam.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
Okay. And then in 1054, we talked about the Orthodox religion, which broke away from the Roman Catholic Church, and the Vatican vowed to get back at them.
Oh, yeah.
Which is what World War One is all about, and that's what we're going to be discussing.
Okay, that's the point we got to, and then now we have a reason for World War One that I never knew. That we're never taught this stuff.
Yeah. And let's not forget about Luther's Reformation of 1517.
Oh, exactly.
And, of course, that really enraged the Vatican, and soon the Jesuits were created in 1540 to now fight undercover and deviously, as we've been saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then last week we covered the Fatima hoax and the sinking of the Titanic. And, yes, the captain was a Jesuit coadjutor.
And not a priest, but actually an undercover Jesuit.
Yeah, that's what a coadjutor means.
Mm-hmm. It's like spy stuff.
That's right.
It really is.
So let's take another caller. Her name is Dawn. And that's all right. We got next week to finish this. That's okay. We like our callers. Dawn, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you, Sheila. It's great to hear you again. I wanted to make a few comments. I was brought up as a Protestant, but I used to go as a kid with some of my friends. They would have to go to church, and I would go with them, and it was so different. They would speak Roman.
Latin?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Latin.
Okay, that's fine.
And I would say to them, do you know what they're saying? No, 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 you know. And it just kind of confused me. But the one thing I wanted to say to your listeners, the ones that are still not crossed over, there's a good DVD, and they can get it on YouTube. Tom Horn, and I can't think of the other pastor's name, they did a DVD talking about the Pope's and the last pope, and they cover the Jesuits. They also cover some of the darkness of the Jesuits.
Yes, there's a lot of darkness, I'm afraid.
But
they're the higher up ones. Now, I'm not talking about the first level, you know, the first couple of vows. It's the fourth vow and up.
Right. And also, there's the biggest telescope in the world that was built by the Vatican in Arizona. Do you know what they called the telescope?
I do.
Lucifer.
Yes.
That name, she's popping up when we're talking on this subject for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
And I know.
They question them, why do you call it Lucifer? Well, that's a good name.
I think that was on, wasn't it Mount Graham?
Mount Graham in Arizona.
And it was on actually a high mountain that was dedicated to Indians that had a lot of their voodoo kind of stuff there.
I don't know about that.
I think they're tribal.
Tribal stuff, anyway.
Yeah. But anyways, getting back to the telescope, they need to Google that. But if they go to the documentary of Tom Horn, he did a wonderful, and I wish I remember the name of it. But again, they look at Lucifer as light.
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they do. And in fact, I've even heard that they don't even call him Satan, that they're two separate entities.
Hmm.
So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So anyway.
This is getting profound.
Yeah. I thank you so much for your call. And again, I want to point out that I'm not against the Catholics. I just want them to know what their hierarchy is into, what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to sit under that.
Yeah. We're not talking about the people that fill the pews.
No.
Not at all. No. And no. I did watch the special, National Geographic special on that telescope in Arizona. And everything she said, everything Don said was absolutely true, according to that.
Yes, and we talked about that, I think, about last year on that show.
So now we're trying to get into World War One, but I don't think we're even going to get that far.
I don't know. I don't think we're going to do our song tonight either. Let's just keep going.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So.
But, well, for sure we're going to skip over the Napoleonic Wars, okay?
Oh, wait a minute.
These were Jesuit-led, successful, actually, until at least 1812.
Well, wait a minute. Are you saying that Napoleon was Catholic? Or?
Yes, I am.
Wow.
As well as a Mason, and his advisor was a high-level Jesuit named Abbe Sieyes, S-I-E-Y-E-S. And it's interesting because before I studied about the Jesuits, I watched the movie on Napoleon. Napoleon, yeah. And I saw that he had a favorite assistant that advised him a lot. And at the time, I remember thinking, well, that advice he gave to Napoleon didn't really seem right. But now I can connect the dots.
Hmm.
Anyhow. You need to do your own homework on that. But,
he
was a Jesuit. He was definitely giving him the wrong advice.
Do you still have that movie?
No, I don't. But you can get it.
Okay.
But anyway, and maybe at some point we'll come back to him, but I think we should continue with events closer to our own time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my grandfather fought in World War One and World War Two, and my father fought with his father in World War Two, and I wonder now if they ever really knew why.
Well, you know, I'll bet they don't really know the core reason.
Probably not.
They never did. I don't think anyone did.
No. I never remember hearing it.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
But they were Irish Catholics, weren't they?
Yes, my family was Irish Catholics, and I'll tell you, they could fight. They got into a lot of fights, actually.
Well, they don't call them the Fighting Irish for nothing.
No, they don't.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so we're just going to do a quick summary of the real story.
Now, this is only 100 years ago.
That's right. And again, a map of Europe would help as we cover some of this.
Yeah.
I'll try not to have it be boring, okay?
Okay.
If it sounds boring, John, interrupt.
Okay. I just want to, if it doesn't make sense, I will ask you.
Okay.
Okay, and I do have a nice map from the internet here of Europe, so go right ahead.
All right, well, first of all, you should know. The so-called heroes of communism, Marx and Engels, who are credited for writing the Communist Manifesto in the 1880s, they were actually coached and directed by Jesuit priests.
Hmm.
The Communist Party was formed for the task of destroying the czars of Russia because they were the protectors of the Orthodox Church.
And, of course, Rome still hated the Orthodox Church ever since they split from Catholicism in 1054 or something like that.
That's right. So a lot of years they held on to this hatred. So basically, they still wanted to get revenge. Now, remember, this is the power behind.
Mm-hmm.
This is the satanic power. And the Communist Party was actually financed in secret, of course, by these agents of Rome in order to create another power that was a servant of the Vatican.
Yeah. Now, this is sounding very unbelievable. Of course, you've got to keep in mind that power that is behind all this.
Right, and we're going to keep reminding people of that.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And keep that in your mind.
Ephesians 6:11.
Yeah, keep Ephesians 6:11 in your mind, and this will make sense.
Well, you can't think of it as people, because there's no way that the people could even think up all these things.
Well, that's true, and a lot of it is just jaw-dropping outrageous.
It is.
And I would if I had to choose, I would say I choose not to believe this because it is so out there.
Right.
But once you start discovering you got to do the history. You do the history, you track down the references, and you see all the, and you find all the stuff out. It's really, it'll change your life.
Okay.
It'll change your view, for sure.
So, let's talk about why World War One even got started.
Mm-hmm.
We got to go to the Austrian-Hungarian Empire. Now, this was before its division. It was a pretty big empire. And, in fact, after its division, which would have been in, like, 1918 after the war,
mm-hmm.
there was, like, 11 nations formed out of this.
Oh, it was big then.
Yeah, it was big.
Okay.
Well, it so happens that the nephew and would-be heir to the throne of this empire would have been Archduke Ferdinand.
Mm-hmm.
But he and his wife, because her name was Sophie, were assassinated while in Sarajevo. Now, Sarajevo is in Bosnia, but it's on the border with Serbia. And Serbia was not part of this empire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And if I remember right, they were assassinated in a, I don't think it was a car. I think they had a, actually had a horse-drawn carriage. But it was in a procession,
yes, it was.
A parade, similar to that maybe of, you know, like Jack Kennedy was in. I don't know. I just kind of remember it that way.
Okay. I'm glad you remember it. Were you alive then?
No, but I just remember seeing the picture of him.
Oh, I know.
I saw a picture of it.
Anyway, that was on July 26, 1914.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the people of Sarajevo were predominantly Orthodox Serbians.
Okay, we got to remember that.
Okay, so they were really on the border of Serbia, just inside Bosnia when they got killed.
So Serbians are Orthodox.
That's
okay.
Right.
Now, we got to remember, too, since 1054,
mm-hmm.
the Catholic Church has been conspiring against them, the Orthodox, for breaking away. And
that's
I'm
right.
thinking Rome was probably behind the assassinations, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they needed someone to blame.
That's right.
So they blamed the Serbs to start a war?
They blamed it on a Serb so that they could start a war with them.
Okay. And I vaguely remember this from high school history, but yeah. Okay. So I'm starting to learn now that a lot of these roads, they lead right back to good old Rome.
Yes. And, you know, it's amazing that it's really kind of easy to see when you know who the enemy is and how he manipulates and,
mm-hmm.
and deceives. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, now let's go back 50 years prior to this assassination now. And the neighboring Croatians, which would have been west of Bosnia,
mm-hmm.
they're the primarily Roman Catholics. And
mm-hmm.
again, as we've been saying, they were very open about their hatred for the Serbians.
Hmm.
So basically, you're talking Catholics against the Orthodox.
I guess.
Romans so. Against the Orthodox.
Rome against the Orthodox. Okay.
Yes.
And the Orthodox are Serbians?
Yes.
Okay.
And
Rome was the Croatians.
That's right.
Okay.
And so the Serbians were a rival of Rome, and the Vatican quietly felt that they should all be exterminated
mm-hmm.
from the readings that I've done.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pope at this time was actually Pius X, and he was continually inciting Emperor Francis Joseph, that's the Austrian-Hungary monarchy, and the uncle to Ferdinand,
mm-hmm.
who was assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
But this Pope kept saying, well, you got to chastise the Serbians, and he was after him all the time.
Okay, so what the Vatican was doing, they were instigating the emperor into a war, and here it wasn't working. They needed to push a little harder, and that's the reason for the assassination.
That's right.
And to this day, they say that's what started World War One, is that assassination.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So 2 days after Ferdinand's assassination, a man named Baron Ritter, who was a Bavarian representative at the Holy See or the Vatican. So he worked with Rome.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote to the government in Germany, and he said, the Pope approves of Austria's harsh treatment of Serbia for killing Ferdinand.
Hmm.
And does not see when Austria could ever make war if she doesn't do it right now. Even if other nations are pulled in.
Well, he knew that they would be, right?
Yeah. But this is really amazing stuff here.
Mm-hmm. This is, I would imagine some people would say this is standard CIA or KGB tactics?
Today.
Today, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Amen. So, here we have the true colors of the Vicar of Christ. You know, mm-hmm. The gentle apostle of peace, the holy pontiff, whom later pious authors would represent him as having died of sorrow at seeing the outbreak of war, because he did die. And in fact, he died within a few months, I believe, of a heart attack. And it was just 2 hours after the evil Jesuit general, and his name was Wernz, who funded communism, had also died. So they died within 2 hours of each other.
It almost seems like either the enemy was through with them, or God
was mad at him. I don't know.
One of the two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of an evil opposite to our country, the two sons of our revolution, Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, dying on the same day.
That's right.
4th of July.
That's right.
Yeah.
Not the same year, though, right?
Same year.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So, thus we see the Pope realized that if Austria-Hungary crushed the Serbs, then the Serbs' Orthodox Christian brothers from Orthodox Russia would enter to help. And, of course, they did. Now, this is also noteworthy. The papacy's Jesuits had another reason for being happy when Russia entered the conflict, because about 100 years before the war began, Alexander I, the Russian emperor, kicked the Jesuits out of Russia. So you see, down through history, there has been some that realized how evil they were.
Oh, there's more than one country that's kicked
absolutely.
Them out.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so, of course, that excluded them entirely from the Russian dominions, and they did not like it.
Now, he was poisoned?
Yes.
It seems like this poisoning. And
so he kicks the Jesuits out, and 5 years later, he was poisoned. And actually, the Tsars were under Jesuit attack, because the next Tsar, who was Alexander II, broke all diplomatic ties with Rome in 1877, and even proposed it in a constitution to be adopted by Russia.
And what happened to him?
The next day, a bomb was thrown in his carriage, which killed and wounded a number of cavalrymen who accompanied the carriage. So Alexander II now, he gets out because he had deep sympathy for these dying men.
Well, they were soldiers. They were soldiers, right?
And then a second bomb went off and blew him to pieces.
Well, that's awful.
Yes.
You know, he went against Rome.
That's
I'm beginning to think that the Pope is the real Godfather, and I'm putting God quotation marks. Pope is the real Godfather.
That's right. Okay, we have another caller, and we're going to take it because we can always finish this next week. Ben, you're on the line.
Are you familiar with the old Latin Bible fragments?
Say it again.
The old Latin Bible fragments?
No.
Okay, are you familiar with the Jerome's Vulgate?
I have a copy.
Okay. Now, I heard you were reading a Bible that Psalm 92, I think it was, the New Living Translation you were reading out of?
No, it was the Complete Jewish Version.
Oh, okay. Okay, because I heard Adonai and I didn't know.
Yeah.
So what's that?
Well, you see, John, he knows Hebrew, so he does happen to read a lot of the Hebrew text.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I thought it was like something like that, but
no, it wasn't.
Okay, yeah. What Bible do you guys use, by the way?
We use a couple of different Bibles.
I use New King James. Because the King James is a little too hard for people to enjoy, unless they really are into Old English.
Mm-hmm.
So I read the New King James, but I never teach or study anything unless I read it out of the original interlinear, which is the text of the Textus Receptus and the Masoretic Hebrew.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you familiar with that symbol in the front of the New King James, the clover leaf?
Ooh, let's see. We have one here. Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, if you mm-hmm. were to look and study that symbol, you'd find it goes back to a lot of occult things.
Mm. So, not surprisingly.
Yeah, and ancient, I think they say on that an ancient Christian symbol, but you'd find it all over the place.
I think I saw that symbol, and that was explained in a video on YouTube called Hidden in Plain Sight.
Right, yeah, I'm familiar.
You're familiar with that one?
A lot of what you're saying, I know the references, like Tom Hunt and Chick and...
Oh, okay. You do know the references, good.
But yeah, the old Latin fragments were copied before Jerome mm-hmm. written the 400 Bibles that he was commissioned to do in Alexandria.
Hey, Ben, I'm sorry, but we've only got like another minute to sign out. If you want to hang on the phone, John can talk to you afterwards if you want to hang.
Just real quick, the old Latin matches the King James, and everything after that matches more with the new Jerome Latin.
Sounds like a topic for
okay.
me.
Okay, we'll have to study that area. Thank you for calling, Ben.
Take care, bye.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
say goodnight.
We'll have to say goodnight before you say goodnight tonight, before you even get in bed tonight, if you haven't made it right with the guy upstairs. If you don't know Yeshua as your personal Savior, just ask Him to show Himself to you, and He will. He'll reveal Himself to you. Repent, get on your knees, agree with what the whole Bible says, that we're sinners and that you're a sinner. Okay? And then He will forgive you. Ask Him into your heart and then get out there and fulfill the great
Amen
commission.
Amen to that.
All right. We're going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. Yevrechacha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
And that says, the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, which means shalom.
Till next week, shalom.
That's right. But pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper.
And that's not maybe.
Psalm 122:6. I hope I didn't offend anybody out there. And please, if you are Catholic, please pray about what you want to do with that and be born again for sure in your heart.
Know for sure in your heart.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on